Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. It's Tuesday, December 23rd, Christmas Eve Eve. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up today, drones helping to tackle fly tipping in Maidstone. Good news for live entertainment lovers as a Kent venue looks to expand, and therapy dogs working on wards to cheer up hospital patients ahead of Christmas. But first, taking a look at our top story today, and this is one of our most read stories on the website. A Maidstone woman has appeared in court after shoplifting £200 worth of goods for her daughter's 18th birthday party. Single mother of three, Shiani Hinton, who's on benefits, stole party food from an Aldi store in Aylesford. Nicola's got more details for the podcast. She's with me now. First of all, Nick, she claims she took the food for her daughter's birthday because she'd run out of money. Is that right?
Yes, the court heard Hinton had hired a caravan to celebrate her eldest daughter's special day, but had no money left to buy food or drink. On March the 6th, she went into the Aldi in Aylesford, and while she did pay for a few items, she managed to stuff just over £200 worth of food into her handbag. She was later identified and gave a full admission to officers before telling them why she'd committed the crime.
Now, she pleaded guilty to shoplifting when she appeared in court in October. What else did we hear during the proceedings?
Well, prosecutors said she's known to the courts and has a number of convictions. The most recent was a traffic offence in September 2024, which puts her in breach of a conditional discharge and a community order. Hinton's defence team said she does have some mental health issues, including OCD, ADHD and PTSD. And at the time of the shoplifting offence, she wasn't taking her medication properly. The court also heard Hinton had pleaded guilty at the earliest opportunity and was very remorseful for committing the offence.
And she returned to court on December 18th. How was she sentenced?
Magistrates decided to place Hinton on another community order for 12 months, but there was no action taken over the breach of the former one. She was also ordered to complete a mental health treatment requirement and take part in rehabilitation sessions. The 38-year-old, who lives in Hadlow Close in Oakwood, was ordered to pay £207 in compensation to Aldi, but wasn't ordered to pay any costs or victim surcharge, as she was still claiming universal credit.
Thanks, Nick.
Kent Online News.
Other stories today. Four men who were arrested on suspicion of attempted murder following a stabbing on Sheppey have been released without charge. A man had to be treated in a London hospital after police were called to Halfway Road in Halfway in September. The suspects were all out on bail, which has now ended. A second boy has been arrested by police after the council offices in Sittingbourne were vandalised following a debate about asylum seekers. Toilets were smashed and taps left running at the building on East Street on December 10th, causing thousands of pounds worth of damage. A 14-year-old has been questioned on suspicion of criminal damage. He's been bailed along with a 12-year-old. 15 vehicles have been stopped for speeding during police checks in Broadstairs. Officers set up a checkpoint on Dumpton Park Drive following concerns from local residents about bad driving in the area. 14 breath tests were also carried out and 4 drug searches. One resulted in cannabis being seized. A Grinch has been accused of stealing Christmas after hundreds of letters to children from Santa was stolen. Thieves are thought to have taken the cards from a car in Whitstable before dumping them on Tankerton Slopes. Local bosses say they're working to make sure no child misses out and are in direct contact with the North Pole.
Kent Online News.
A technical problem has caused delays on ferries at Dover this morning. Bosses at DFDS Seaway say they were running about an hour behind schedule. Operation Brock has now been removed from the N20 after coming into force last week to deal with Christmas getaway traffic. You can get the latest traffic updates by listening to KMFM. Meanwhile, the M20 is operating as normal today after the removal of Operation Brock. The contraflow system came into force between Maidstone and Ashford last week to help deal with the Christmas getaway traffic. It is designed to queue lorries on the motorway if there are delays at the Port of Dover and Eurotunnel. The cones have now been removed and both carriageways are back to the national speed limit. Firefighters have been called to a village near Ashford after a wasp's nest caught alight inside a chimney. Heat from burning logs caused the blaze on Knoll Hill in Aldington last night. Crews are reminding people to get their chimney swept before lighting any fires. Elsewhere, 3 fire engines have been sent to Tenterton after a caravan caught alight. No one was hurt in the blaze on Pasture Court Road yesterday evening. The cause is believed to be accidental. A care home in Greenhithe, placed in special measures earlier this year, has closed after a re-inspection uncovered serious concerns. An assessment from the Care Quality Commission found issues around staffing, safeguarding and person-centred care at Blossoms Care Home based in Mounts Road. The centre provides care for people with dementia and both physical and learning disabilities. They'll now be moved to alternative accommodation. A kitten has been rescued after being dumped in a cat litter tray near the old Gala Bingo Hall in Chatham. He was found next to rubbish and has now been taken in by Wisteria Cat Rescue. They've called him Noel, which means Christmas in French.
Kent Online News.
Drones are being used in Maidstone to help find illegally dumped waste. The technology allows officers to detect fly tipping sooner and get clean-up operations underway. Council data shows nearly 1,700 tips were reported to them between April and September. 65% of those were cleared within 4 days. Nicola spoke to Sally Smith, who is from the council.
Maidstone Borough Council Waste Crime Team have been equipped with drones now for a little while, and we found them really, really useful for helping us find the fly tips quite quickly. So often they're out in very rural locations. The information sometimes you can get from the public is not as precise as you'd like it to be. So we found by putting the drones out there, we can cover really vast areas, and tips that would sometimes take like 4 or 5 hours for us to find, we're locating them pretty much immediately, because we can just cover that ground. They've also equipped thermal imaging, so if something's been set on fire, we can find it really quickly as well. And some of the footage has actually also caught people in the act. So it's been really, really good in allowing us to clear those sites up really quickly.
That's incredible, because I guess previously you would have had to have just driven around country lanes or whatever looking for waste that's been dumped. So whereabouts are the drones kind of located? Are they all over the place? Do you have like a central team?
So the drones located with our team at Maidstone House, and that we can go out anywhere within the Maidstone area. That we have a number of people that are trained in their use. And as soon as we get that report in, if it's not a location that we're going to be able to find it easily, we'll pick up the drones, take it with us, and spend a little bit of time setting that up to find those fly tips so we can get to it quickly and clear it up, because you know it's a blight on our countryside. It blocks roads, it's costly, it impacts our wildlife, so we don't want it out there damaging people's vehicles as they drive through a pile and get a flat tire. We want it out to that community. We want to tidy it up, but also we want to try and send a message to the people that are doing this that it won't be tolerated. So a few months ago we launched our Don't Mess with Maidstone campaign, where we're not only clearing up the fly tips, but we're taking positive action and robust action against the people that are doing this. It's notoriously difficult to catch people in the act, but we are taking action against them.
So could any of that, if you did catch someone in the act with one of those drones, could footage from that be used as part of a prosecution in future?
Yes. So some of the imagery that we have taken is being used as I speak within the court system to prosecute people that have been blighting our countryside by these illegal fly tips. So it's really useful. It's incredibly clear footage. So hopefully that sends a message to the people doing this that it simply won't be tolerated.
And I guess as well, the footage that you get if you see waste that's been dumped, you get an idea of what's been dumped as well, so you know what vehicles to send to help clear it up, things like that, like the practical side of it.
Yeah, the size and scope, it allows us to figure out what resources we're going to need to clear it. So the vast majority of the tips that were reported to us were cleared up within 4 working days, which I think you'd agree is quite quick. The ones that weren't were because they're on that commercial level, and we had to do treating and testing in order to figure out what waste it was, is it harmful, and what specialist equipment we might need to get rid of it.
People living in a block of flats in Maidstone say not enough is being done to control an infestation of forage flies. Residents say the building on Hubert Walter Drive is crawling with bugs, which have taken over despite their efforts to be rid of them. Housing Association MHS Homes has apologised and confirmed pest contractors are investigating. You can see pictures at Kent Online. Developers from London have submitted plans to build new homes on the site of a former school in Canterbury. The Chaucer Technology School was knocked down in 2015. The land in Pilgrims Road could now be turned into 34 homes and 2 playgrounds. Galliard, the company behind the scheme, say the properties will not be allocated to a London borough. There's uncertainty over the future of a proposed new hotel in Ashford Town Centre. A parade of shops in New Rents is now sitting empty and is due to be demolished to make way for the project. Plans for the hotel were rejected by council over environmental issues. Local bosses say those concerns are yet to be addressed. Now, neighbours have criticised a decision to turn a family family home in Strood into a six-bed HMO. A change of use application for the property in Prospect Avenue was submitted to Medway Council earlier this year and it's now been approved. It'll be extended and altered inside to make room for the house of multiple occupation. Our reporter Finn McDermott has been chatting to residents who aren't happy.
Enough is enough. We have a school behind, hence why people from London have moved here with children. And this is a family orientated road. We quite understand that everybody needs a place to live, but six rooms in a tiny terraced house is a bit ridiculous. And we already have people coming in and out that we don't know anymore, and they're not going to stay long if it's six rooms. You're going to stay and you're going to go and you're going to get somebody else. And we, for safety reasons, I think it's not a safe scenario with children around.
I grew up in this area and this is such a massive community, and like, it's always family orientated, and it's getting to the point where families are getting harder to find parking and it's causing distress from families. Yeah, no, it's just not fair on people that want to have a family home, especially on a lovely road like this, and then there's about about six different students coming in and they all have cars, and it's harder for parking for families, especially like dropping off the kids or doing a little bit of dropping off the food shopping and stuff like that. It's just not fair.
If you look at the size of the building and the owners are intending to convert into a six-bedroom flat, then obviously it's because they want to make money. It does not make sense. There's enough congestion already. If you look around you, there are cars everywhere. And I can tell you for a fact that even some people who've got cars are not here at the moment. If you come back home around night time, it's a nightmare to park. We've got an HMO already on the road. When I first moved in here, it was disgusting. The rubbish was always littered. There was always arguments, crowds screaming. This is a family road. We don't need this kind of distraction. We've got little children. Apart from the fact that we are going to have six people live, it's going to be six people living in and out, going in and out, because depending on the tenancy agreement, we are just going to have strangers walking in and out all the time, which is not safe for our neighbourhood. We don't know the type of people.
We're just inundated with HMOs coming up on the road. It's already a problem with parking, and the area is being overwhelmed by these, and one of our neighbours has said we need to make a stand, and I completely agree. I don't mind having some, but we need to have a limit.
Tell me about some of these issues you've been experiencing because of the HMOs. Tell us about them.
There was a group across the way with quite a lot of youngsters, and their rubbish was always overpiling. But also, and it's just a pedantic thing, they put it into bags that wouldn't be taken by the council because there's a specific way to do it, which meant that the rubbish was often there for days or weeks, and we saw rats coming out, and that just begins leading to bigger, better, horrible things.
Now, this comes as council have approved plans to bring in more restrictions for HMOs in parts of Medway. The new rules will require every application to be assessed by council for impact on parking, waste disposal and other factors. Landlords could also be punished if they don't maintain their properties to a certain standard.
Kent Online News.
The boss of a Kent music venue says he's hoping to buck the trend by opening a second site in the county. The team behind the Booking Hall in Dover are currently working on renovating what used to be the Life nightclub on Sittingbourne High Street. Stuart Cameron is the director there. He's been speaking to Nicola.
About October last year, we were looking for a second venue. We wanted something similar sort of size, but at least an hour or so away from where Dover is, so that we're not in direct competition, obviously, with ourselves. But yeah, we looked at three or four different places, but this one in Sittingbourne popped up in the summertime. It really, really ticks all the boxes. And also, you know, in regards to Sittingbourne, there's not a whole lot of venues or nightlife there, so it's a prime location, we think, and it's a good market to have a music venue there.
Just describe the building to us for anyone who hasn't seen it, because it is a beautiful Art Deco building from the outside, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on Sittingbourne High Street. It's quite like an iconic building, like you say. It's very Art Deco outside. It's got Burton written, obviously, in big letters at the top. It was actually, I think it's Burton's menswear, and it was built, you know, ages ago in an Art Deco style. But it was always a shop for clothing and stuff. So you would have thought it was a cinema, but no, it was a shop for clothing. But now we've obviously taken on the upper floors of that historic old building. And we're busy converting it from what was a nightclub into an actual music venue. Yeah.
So what's it like inside? I'm sure quite a few people have been into that nightclub previously. What are you going to be doing to it? How many changes do you need to make? Talk us through what's going on at the moment.
It needs a general sort of repair and a redecoration throughout. We're going to put a new bar in, just to make it feel a bit more of like a music venue than a nightclub. So we'll put a nice new bar in. We're putting some modular staging in, because at the moment there's some raised platforms, but there's no proper staging. So we're going to put some modular staging in, which can change per event, which is really good. And just a big upgrade to what they had before in regards to sort of sound and light equipment and stuff as well. So just a general complete refresh and an upgrade to what was originally there. So it'll be familiar to some people, but it's going to have a very different feel and atmosphere than it had before when it was a nightclub.
Fantastic. And tell us about what sort of music offering you're going to have there. Is it going to be very similar to what people have come to love at the Booking Hall?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very similar. It's the same team that are going to be sort of overseeing the programming side of things. It'll be a slightly different team on the ground running the venue, but all the programming and marketing is going to be by the same team behind the Booking Hall. So you're going to have a lot of the touring original acts, a lot of the touring tributes, and local grassroots bands that we program here in Dover. A lot of that will also be programmed up in Sittingbourne. Obviously, when it comes to the local bands, that'll be slightly different because Sittingbourne is an hour or so away from Dover. But it's going to be the same sort of, really good quality entertainment that people have grown to sort of expect from Dover, and also we very much program with the community in mind. If I was to put on events that I liked, there'd be no one there and we'd be closed, because I have a terrible taste in music. But we very much program to what we think the community likes, and we take on board suggestions on what they say as well. We're hoping it's going to be nice and busy and successful.
Stats show around one grassroots music venue a week closed in 2024. The Swayo Assembly will have a capacity of 230 and is on schedule to open in March. An Ashford man has given up his career as a teacher to take over running his local pub. Gary Carter taught science in secondary schools for years, but last year became the landlord of the Rose Inn in Kennington. He spent thousands of pounds in renovations and says he's enjoying bringing the pub back to its former glory. Brick Lane students from Sheppey College have been given the chance to look around a real construction site. They were given a tour by developers building a new housing estate in Minster. Bosses at the East Kent Colleges group say giving pupils an insight into the industry will help develop the next generation of house builders. And we've been hearing how therapy dogs have been helping patients at a Kent hospital in the run-up to Christmas. Medway Maritime has a team of 13 pets that are taken round to wards on a regular basis. Chloe Brewster from our colleagues at KMTV has been chatting to staff nurse Kelly Stridwick.
We have a few therapy dogs that come in. It's really beneficial to the patients. Obviously, as nurses, we can look after them. We can give them medication and things. However, the dog adds something different. So it provides a more holistic approach to the care that we give. And the patients, you can definitely tell the difference it makes for the patients, especially those that got animals at home. So they will tell us about all wild dogs at home, or about a dog they once had, or even our patients with dementia, it will take them back to their younger days when they had dog. And you can see their faces light up. So they do enjoy, most of them, having the dog around.
So what kind of activities do the dogs join the patients with? Is it just sort of bedside, or do they go to them with appointments and things?
So here, dogs usually come around the bedside. They go in the bays. We also, if we do any other activities here, so if we do garden parties or we have school choirs, then the dog will come those days as well to support us. They are a big part of our ward.
And what about you? I mean, it must be lovely coming into work and getting endless dogs to pet.
I love a dog. Mm-hmm. And, it's just as good for the staff as it is the patients. It's therapeutic. So for the staff, if you've had a bad day or anything, or you just want to cuddle, we've got a dog there as well.
Bernie Robinson is a nursing associate. She's also a fan of the scheme.
I think it's really good for patients to come in and see, especially when they're missing. They've been at Medway and they've come into hospital, they're missing their loved ones, they're missing their animals. Obviously we don't get cats, but obviously a lot of people are missing their cats, but a dog is just the same when they come along and give them a bit of affection. They really do like it.
Mm-hmm. And is there one sort of interaction with a patient and a dog that you thought was like so amazing that made a huge impact on?
I think when the patient's really quite poorly and the dog will go up to their hand and maybe nuzzle their hand, and it just, you can just tell that they've got a little bit of a relationship, even though they've never met or they've only seen each other a couple of times. So it's quite cute to see.
That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.